Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Well, good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, the church where we are always seeking to know God, to love God, and to serve God. Whether you're joining us online, which we have quite a lot of you, I know, or in person, we are so glad that you're with us today. And if you are newer among us, or even if it's your first time, we want to offer you a special welcome. We are grateful that God has brought you here today, and we hope you get a chance to meet some of us, and we hope that you will sense God's presence in this place. You've come on a great day, all of you, because Pastor John has an important and timely message for us today. I am indeed Pastor Lynn, your associate pastor. Our worship leaders today are Liz Hoover and Rose Bledsoe. And we have a special handbell number where only five people are going to do the whole handbell thing. So we'll watch their skill, right? Yes, yes, yes. I'd like to ask all of you to complete your connection cards. Let us know you're here. And notice on the back, you can sign up for a whole lot of different opportunities. And we look at those and we reach out to you if you check those. At this time, I'd like to invite any children who are still here in worship that didn't go straight to Sunday school to go ahead and head down there. And then I have a few announcements. But as I begin, I want to say that we are so happy that our church is being blessed by more and more newer people who have been deciding to make this their church home. You know, we've given out more than 80 visitor bags since December. Can you believe that? Yeah, it's great. It's good news. It's good news. We are just so happy for every single person who comes, and we're getting fuller, right? So we want to be sure to slide over if somebody comes to sit by you, make space for them, and offer them a welcome, because we are indeed a welcoming congregation. The next 2 weeks are filled with special activities for kids, and guess what? We need your help to do that. First is Vacation Bible School is this week. There'll be 100 kids and many, many volunteers. It's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning, and it's called Camp Firelight. So this afternoon between 1 and 6, if you're free, pop on over because they could use some help setting some things up. At 12:15, if you've signed up to be one of the volunteers, we have a training and orientation session, and I think it's going to be right out here in the community room. Another way that all of us can help with Vacation Bible School is to bring donations for the VBS Mission Project. This year, they are collecting food and items for our very next, you know, at the Presbyterian Church next door in the back parking lot. Did you ever see that white building? That's Bountiful Harvest. And we want to donate to them diapers, diaper wipes, cereal, and canned tuna or chicken. So if you've got any of that stuff, bring it with you to church next Sunday to help with what the kids are collecting so that we can really make a bountiful harvest. And don't forget to come next Sunday because that will be VBS Sunday, and those families are some of the new families then that haven't been to church before but came to VBS. They'll be here among us, and we want to welcome them. Then, the following week is musical theater camp for kids. So 2 weeks in a row of kids' activities. They will be offering live performances on August 11th, and we all remember what terrific jobs they do. So we're a busy and blessed church, are we not? Isn't that true? Yeah, we are. So let's stand for our opening hymn, number 454, Open My Eyes.
Join me in the opening prayer. Lord Jesus, you came into our imperfect world with your perfection and gave us your love and mercy. Help us to be more like you so that we can look beyond ourselves and see people through your eyes. Help us to accept each other in love. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Today, the scripture reading is from Acts chapter 10, verses 23 to 38. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. He said, "Stand up," Peter said. "I'm only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. Peter said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or to visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask, why did you send for me?" Cornelius answered, "Well, 3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, 3 p.m. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He's a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea.' So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all those who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God."
Amen. Thank you, Liz, for reading our scripture this morning. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us and created each and every one of us in the image and likeness of yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning we're going to be talking about a bumper sticker that you see from time to time around town, around the country, around the world. And the title of the bumper sticker today is Proud American Christian. And I have to say, just like to get started, there's nothing wrong with any of these things. You can be proud of who you are. You can be proud of your identity. You can be proud of the nation that you're born in. You can be proud of your faith. You can be bold about it. You can be out there and proclaiming it, and you can say everything that you want. You can be, rooted in these convictions about the place that you were born in, the time that you were born in. You can be phenomenally boastful about these things. But it's interesting these days how so often our national identity and our spiritual identity have somehow begun to be woven together in a kind of marriage that I have to admit there are moments that I feel mildly uncomfortable with. When we say we're proud American Christians, there's this dynamic, right, that the folks who created our country and the folks who began our spirituality, there was some divergence in both of those identities where in the beginning of our nation, they had this vision for the separation of church and state, that there would be political ideologies and beliefs that would sort of exist within the confines of the legislature and the government, and they would be sort of over here, and then there would be the freedom of people to be able to practice whatever religion they find most fitting, and that didn't always have to be Christianity. From the very beginning of this country, there's been a wide array of spiritual beliefs and identities that have called this nation home, and yet, from the very beginning, there's always been this sort of deep-rootedness and this conviction that most of what was happening in the United States was somehow deeply rooted with the identity and calling and purpose of God. there's nothing wrong, and we've certainly known politicians all throughout the history of our country that root themselves in a very particular philosophy or religious identity. Almost all of the folks who have been elected to president have either been, sort of out as Catholic or Protestant, mostly Protestant. But there's a little bit of discomfort because at the same time, the gospel, the stories that Jesus taught and the way that he lived and the way that he lived out his faith and convictions, maybe you'll remember these words from the gospel, but he said, therefore, go out and make disciples of Jesus Christ, right? Throughout all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And there's something these days that makes me a little bit uncomfortable when people say, I am a proud American Christian. There's a dynamic of that that makes me wonder about the global vision for what the gospel was supposed to be all about. There's also something to me that rubs me the wrong way at moments when people are seeking to have power, wealth, and prestige. When Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, you know, the last shall be first, the meek will be lifted up, those who are poor and downtrodden, they will be first in the kingdom of God. And there's this sort of interesting dynamic because the United States for a long time has been the most powerful, wealthy nation in the world, and we celebrate that. That might be part of the reason why we're proud of our heritage and who we've been and where we've come from. But at the same time, there's this message in the gospel that where Jesus, I just always envision him sort of bending down on a knee to see somebody who's sick, to see somebody who's suffering, to see somebody who's been poor or marginalized and outcast, and he looks them straight in the eye and he engages them on their level and he says, the kingdom of God has come to you this day, not because you're wealthy and powerful. The kingdom of God isn't just for the people who are fortunate and who have had all of the balls bounce their way. It hasn't just come to folks who are mighty and powerful, but instead, the kingdom of God has come to visit the lowly, the poor, the meek, the marginalized, the oppressed, the outcast. At least that's how I experience the gospel. There's something powerful to me about Jesus's great commission. Therefore, go out into the world and baptize people all around the world. And people took Jesus's words seriously. Missionaries from the United States went to Africa and to Asia, and they preached a message of transformation that has spread to countries all around the world. And when I close my eyes from time to time and dream of heaven, I have to tell you, if there's still geopolitical divisions in heaven, I'm going to be disappointed. If there's a place for Chaldean Christians over here, and there's a place for Roman Catholics over here, and there's a place for Pentecostals over here, I'm going to be disappointed. If there's a table over here for African Christians, and there's a table over here for United States Christians, and if there's a table over here for European Christians, and if there's a table over here for Asian Christians, and if there's a table over here for Latin American Christians, I'm going to be bummed. Throughout my ministry, I have been so inspired by the faith of people all around the world. And these days, when we boldly proclaim that we're a proud American Christian, I hope this is what this means. I hope it means that you're proud to be a part of a beautiful nation. And yesterday, I don't know what you guys did, but I spent the entire day cleaning out my garage. And the reason why I did this was because my daughter said, I want to have a garage sale. She wanted to make money. And so we went through and we cleaned everything out. And we put things in boxes and we'll sell it. And I just wanted to be outside because it was a beautiful day. And I was so thankful to be able to live in a beautiful place like Michigan, where I was looking outside my garage. In one place, there's like chaos, and I looked out, and you all have provided us with one of the most beautiful homes in Brighton. There's beautiful green trees all around us. The other day, we went to a pool in Ann Arbor, and I found myself just so grateful to live in a community like this. I hope, when you say you're a proud American Christian, part of what you're saying is, I'm so proud to be in such a beautiful place like Brighton and Livingston County and Michigan in the United States. But I hope also that you're deeply proud of the ways in which God is at work in all corners of the globe, that you're so excited about what the Holy Spirit is doing in Africa and Asia, and that we can humble ourselves enough to know that God is at work well before we ever arrived in any of those places. I hope when you say I'm a proud Christian, that you're proud of the way that the church treats people who are less fortunate than us. I hope you're proud of the ramps that we've built for people with limited mobility. I hope you're proud of the food that we're providing through the NOAA Project right outside our door. I hope you're proud of the way that we've supported the Protovin Church that supported Ukrainian refugees over the last couple of years. I hope you're proud of the ways in which we're transforming people's lives in Redbird, Kentucky, because at the end of the day, when I look at what the gospel was all about, Jesus came and got down on his hands and knees, and he said, you want to know who the first folks are going to be aware of the kingdom of God? Kids. Not kings, not presidents, not senators or religious dignitaries, not clergy, not powerful folks. Kids. They're going to be the ones that get it first. And then later on, Paul writes that it's going to be those who are living in sin who are the very first people to meet Jesus in the day of Jesus' coming, because the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the scandalous aspect of the gospel that we preach. It's the same reason why Pastor Lynn got up earlier this morning and she said, if somebody new comes to the church, slide over. And for those of you who have been coming to this church for a long time who can, park in the rear of the parking lot. No, it's not fair. I've got to tell you, it's not a country club. When you join the church, you lose benefits. We ask more of you. It's scandalous. Who would ever want to join? But it's nothing compared to the surpassing power of being a part of God's redemptive, transformational work all around the world. I didn't come here this morning to confront your patriotism. I hope you're proud every time they sing the national anthem. But there's a couple things about Christian nationalism that's made me uncomfortable these days. The first is the inability to confront the areas that we've fallen short of living up to God's expectations for us. Any organization that gets to a point where you can't point out ways in which it can be better is a danger to the whole world. We have to be honest with one another about our shortcomings. Could we have a system of government and political life that could be more reflective of the kingdom of God? Of course we could. We're made up of people. One of the things that I love to tell new members of the church is that we are not perfect. At some point, we are going to let you down. I don't know about you, but at some point, the government has let me down. Amen? The government is not God. The church is not God. Us clergy, we are not God. It makes me uncomfortable when we start to think that the nation is perfect and is the one that is acting out the will of God in the world. The other is this. There's a strong element in nationalism that part of God's plan was to design the planet with these geopolitical and cultural boundaries that by and largely have been human creations. And when I say the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One of the things that I hold on to in that moment is that someday the earth would look a little bit more like it does in heaven. That there wouldn't be tables or nation states, that there wouldn't be caucuses, that there wouldn't be fights and arguments about politics. Gosh, I hope there's not political ads on TV when we get to heaven. I'd be ticked. The reality is, and I've said this before in sermons, one of the things that stands out about astronauts when they go into the outer space and they turn around and they look at the planet is they have this incredible moment where they realize that all of the lines that have been drawn on every map, basically from the beginning of maps being created, none of them are there. You can't tell where the U.S. ends and Canada begins. You have no idea where the border is between U.S. and Mexico. You have no idea in Europe where Germany comes into contact. It doesn't matter when you look at it from outer space. And it's profoundly humbling to look at this tiny blue, green, and white ball that floats in a vast ocean of space. And there's a part of me that thinks that that's how God sees us too. I believe that diversity was actually one of God's plans for the world. That one of God's hopes is that someday we would all get along. And the reason why I believe that is because I have two kids and they couldn't be more different from each other. And I believe that their difference is part of what God's plan was for the world, that we wouldn't just create offspring that are robots, that are all exactly the same. And I think part of our challenge, part of gospel work, and just like this moment when Peter stands up in front of Cornelius, and I'll read it to you one more time. He says, "Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation anyone who fears him and does what is right." This was a huge cultural shift in the ancient world. For a long time, Israel believed that they were the only nation state that God could show favoritism to. God made a covenant with God's people to deliver them out of slavery and bondage to Pharaoh. He brought them into the promised land, and that certainly was a huge part of our spiritual ancestors' history. And then Paul had this conviction. If Jesus was crucified, and if he was killed on the cross, and if he was raised from the dead, then that wasn't just good news for the Israelites, but that was good news for people all around the world, including the Gentiles. And I'm here to tell you the church has been fighting about that ever since. Who's in? Who's out? Who makes the cut? Who doesn't? And when Peter gets up in front of this group, he says this: God doesn't show favoritism. Anyone from any nation can be a part of God's chosen people. And so, if you're the kind of person that drives around with a bumper sticker that says, "Proud American Christian," I'm not here to shame you. I'm not here to challenge your identity. You can't help but be who you are, just like everybody else in the world can't help but be born in the place that they were born. I hope we can all be proud of who we are and where we came from. And I hope that we have the humility to hear about the Spirit's work all around the world, because God is up to great things in Brighton, and God is up to great things in the Czech Republic, and God is up to great things in Liberia, and God is up to great things all around the world. A couple of weeks ago, once again in our community, there were folks who gathered in downtown Howell, and I still don't know exactly where they came from or what all of their, you know, backgrounds are, but they were walking around with signs that said, Hail Hitler, and, you know, all of these other pieces of terrible ideology and politics and hatred and a sort of support and a cry for violence and the extermination of people who don't look or sound or act or whatever like us, people who believe different things than we do. And I'm proud of the city of Howell for almost, you know, universally and standing up and saying, this isn't us. This isn't who we want to be. I think a lot of folks from Howell have worked incredibly hard from the 1970s and 1980s to systematically undermine the messages of hate that have been a part of Livingston County's history. And I'm here to say I don't know that that work is done. In order for us all to be fully proud, we have to confront the parts of our society that make us uncomfortable. That's what Jesus did. And I want to end with this last illustration. There were folks in the ancient world during the time of Jesus who weaponized the Sabbath. This was part of their work. They said you shouldn't work on the Sabbath, and that was probably good spiritual teaching that they had grown in and come to appreciate. But there were poor folks who needed to work on the Sabbath because they were poor and because they were a part of the service industry. And the religious folks would walk around so proud of their piety and the fact that they were confronting these poor folks who just needed to work so that they could eat. And so it was mostly men who were religious leaders who would walk around condemning folks. Oh, you shouldn't be working on the Sabbath, they said in their pompous, pious perspectives. And these folks would say, well, what are we supposed to do if we don't work today? We'll starve to death. And then Jesus would come along. And while he appreciated and recommended not working on the Sabbath, Jesus would routinely dine with sinners and tax collectors, and he would go to folks who had worked on the Sabbath, and he would talk with them and not pretend like they were somehow outcasted and marginalized from society. There are some times when the rules of a government become so prohibitive for the people that live inside it that your freedoms and liberties are constricted in the name of organized religion. And then Jesus himself comes along and he says, this isn't what I meant by this. Yes, take a break when possible. Yes, rest on the seventh day. But don't weaponize that teaching in such a way that it hurts people. I've come here to spread the love of God. At the end of the day, when asked what the greatest commandment was, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He kind of cheated, in my opinion. Like, gave three commandments for the price of one. But I think the point of it is this. He didn't get up there and say, follow the exact letter of the law of all of the 637 laws of the Pentateuch. He said to love. And in other parts of his message, he went to people who were marginalized and outcasts, and he got down on his hands and knees, and he prayed with them, and he held them, and he healed them, and he told them salvation and the kingdom of God has visited them this day. And then he went to the religious leaders who were walking around so proud, oh, you shouldn't work on the Sabbath. And he flipped tables over in their houses of worship. And he said, you have denigrated the temple. The way that I take that is that any time my religious identity starts to do damage to the quality and way of life of somebody else, I probably have missed the greatest commandment. And so my challenge to you is this. If you can find a between path to stand up and proudly sing our nation's national anthem and be proud of who you are and who God created you to be, and at the same time take very seriously the challenge of our faith to go out and baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you can find a middle road where your faith and your national identity doesn't come at the expense of the good things that God is doing in other nation states with other cultures and other languages, I think we've found a way to live out the teachings of the Lord's Prayer, that in some way we'd be living as dual citizens, both of this nation, with one foot in the kingdom of God in heaven. Yes, you're here, but only for a while. Someday, our residency will be somewhere else, and I can't wait to hear the stories of all of the saints from all around the world. What a glorious day that will be. Amen.
Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. So wonderful to see your faces out there today. It's been a beautiful couple of days, but we don't mind spending an hour indoors. I have to make a comment about the Earth, and you see it from space, and there are no lines, but by golly, you can still see Michigan. I'm sure most of you have noticed that the morning air is getting to smell different. It's dark again when I let the dog out at 5:30 in the morning, and the leaves on my burning bush are already turning red. Seasons come and go, such is the ebb and flow of life. We can't ignore that autumn and winter are just around the corner, but we accept that this is part of the cycle toward rest and renewal, life and death through God's grace. When we were living in Aranac County, the local news station had asked viewers to send in pictures of their dogs during the dog days of summer. So I sent a photo of our dog relaxing on the sofa. She had her paws crossed. A family at the church I attended at that time had a dog that looked very similar to ours, but their dog had recently died. And Mom had told little Emma that the dog had gone to live with Jesus. When Emma saw the picture of our dog on the news, she excitedly asked her mother, "Is that Jesus' house?" Gracious and holy Creator, may we all be blessed with the simple faith of children. Help us to visualize the serenity that awaits us when we are called to live with Jesus. But we live here now, and we have much work to do to help bring the ideals of your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for the precious young ones and all the volunteers who will be involved in Vacation Bible School this week. We are blessed. We also humbly ask that you, merciful God, add your special touch to the prayers we offer over these quilts and their recipients, Nick Paparelli and Daphne Keeler. Guide us on the path laid out by Jesus' example. Remind us, in the midst of what seems like unending turmoil and hatefulness in our world, that kindness is still a virtue. Help us to recognize and glorify the magnificent beauty of your creation, and help us to celebrate the blessing of ordinary days. The sun making sparkles on a lake, raindrops on our faces, the shaky purr of a new kitten, a wet kiss from a toddler. Teach us to be sensitive to those around us. Show us the best ways to care for one another. We can't individually solve society's inequities and soothe every grievance to create world peace. But together, with your help, we can make a difference by shining the light of your love into the dark corners where evil hides. We can educate and we can learn. We pray that one day humanity will share a vision of wholeness and health throughout the world. At this time, let us lift up in silence the concerns and joys we hold in our hearts. And now let us experience your Holy Spirit flowing through us as we repeat the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, I have to say that Gary and I and our daughter spent yesterday watching the Olympics. And I have to say, I thought that's where you were going to go with that, because it was so beautiful to see people from all over the world, competing and yet engaged in such a great way. I'd like to invite the ushers to go ahead and come forward as I tell you that we are a church that reaches out to help others locally and around the world. Sometimes we offer diapers. Sometimes our offering is food. Sometimes we're purchasing vans for mission. Sometimes we offer simply our time or our prayers or our financial gifts. But today, we have a special guest with us. You know, for many years, this church has had a relationship with a church in Czechoslovakia. And it's especially because of Vern and Agnes Hoschel that have made that happen for us. And the church's name is Protovin. And we have with us Maluska, who is going to talk with us about what's happening in that church. So here's a chance for us to be our own welcoming of people from other countries. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
We've had a 20-year relationship with the Protovin United Methodist Church, and that started out with VIM teams coming from this church. Bill and Barb Lane were part of one of the DIM teams that went over there to help work on the Mother's Center. So Maluska is going to tell you about the Mother's Center. There's posters out there in the community room which kind of highlight all of the activities we did with several VIM teams that went over there. I have with me, as you know, Maluska. She's a lay pastor in the Methodist Church in the Czech Republic. She's been kind of the glue that's held the Protovin United Methodist Church together. I'd like to have her daughter, Mary, and son, Vasek, stand up. They're there, here. And they are visiting us for 2 weeks, and for no further ado, take over, Maluska.
Okay. Thank you for having us here, and thank you for the warm welcoming we had here. So it's very good to be here, and I am very happy to stay here and talk to you and to meet you, to see some friends I met years ago. And I would like to talk to you about how we met and what we do in our church and what we did. So may I ask for the presentation, please? Okay, you can see the first VIM team we had in 2004, and they came to help us to reconstruct our old barn, and it was very hard work. Next slide, please. And it was a day after my wedding with my husband. So we spent our honeymoon with them, and it was a very blessed, special, and joyful time. So next slide, please. And this is the old barn we decided to completely rebuild. We made a new house there because it would take a lot of time of maintaining the old barn. So this is the new house. We started in 2004, and we ended it with your help in 2007. And we made it as a center for children, and in 2010 we established a mother center there. Next slide, please. And we made outdoor activities with families. Next slide, please. Also, indoor activities for all families and with children. Sometimes it was difficult to mention, to organize it, but it was very nice. Next slide, please. We made some overnight activities with children. It was very good for us, and we spent a lot of time together, and it was very joyful, and we made friendships with them. Next slide, please. We also make camps for boys and for girls. This is a boys' camp. It was like scouting. Do you understand me? Okay. Okay, next slide, please. This is not a slavery. We don't abuse children for work. They have just some fun in the creek, and they made something to make it some fishing and things like that. Next slide, please. This is a camp for children. It's not in Protivin. We have a center for camps and rehearsal center. It's in Poșt. It's about 30 minutes away. So we make camps for children. Next slide, please. We also make camps in the winter when we have vacation. So we went with children for vacation to the mountains. Next slide, please. And this is a special event. This is Easter. And it was one of the very rare opportunities to really spread the gospel with children, because people usually don't want people to be religious. They don't allow us to talk to them, but Easter was a very good opportunity to talk to them and to share the gospel with them. So I'm very proud of it, and I'm very happy that they could join us. Next slide, please. We tried to reach people outside the town, and we didn't know how to make it because they don't want to come to church. So with Adventist Church, we cooperate our healthy cooking. And this is a part of it, and we always try to do some vegetarian food. And it's like I was responsible for sharing the gospel with people, and one of the topics was the same like with vegetarian food. If you don't try it, you don't know if it tastes good or not. So it's like with God. Try and see that God is good. So next slide, please. And this is a picture from 2010. We were the first VIMT team that came from the Czech Republic to United States, and we helped to fix the cooler in Buffalo Mountain Camp in Tennessee. Okay, next slide, please. Here you can see Agnes Hoschel. She gave us a present. You made here that thing which is over the pulpit hanging. So, and we still have it there. So thank you for that. Next slide, please. And this is very personal to me. This baby is our daughter, Mary. And you prayed for her 19 years ago. And you have a special ministry, the quilts, with a prayer. And when Vern asked me, he knew that she had a surgery when she was newborn baby, and he asked me to send a picture. So I saw you a picture, and then you sent us a quilt. Next slide, please. You prayed for our daughter. She still has the quilt. She is alive. She is healthy and well doing. So thank you very much. Okay, thank you. That's everything. and I brought you a present for your church. Pastor John, can you come, please? This is a calendar, and you can use it over the years because this is not for just this year. And there are pictures of a man who used to come to our church. He passed away, but his wife made a calendar of his paintings, and there is always a message. This calendar is called The Star Has Spoken, and it's about the star, and you can see, you can read it in English as well, the message. Each picture has a message in it. So this present is for you, and I hope it will bring you a joy and encouraging to you, and it will remind you of us, of United Methodist Church in Prativin.
Thank you. Thank you.
And to encourage you to visit us, I brought you in English what you can see in our county. So this is for you. We are not big country, so you can come and travel a lot. It's in English, so this is for you as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Malushka, for being here, and we're grateful for your presence and your work. You inspire us in our faith, and we're grateful for a 20-year partnership, which in ministry is a long time, a wonderful relationship. And Mary, it's awesome to celebrate that we were praying for you, you know, 19 years ago, and here you are with us. So thank you for gracing us with your presence. Let us celebrate the partnership and the relationship we have with the Czech Republic. Thank you so much for being here. Amen.
And I forgot to tell you that I bring the greetings from our church. Sorry.
In humility, Lord, we bring our offerings to you. We pray that you will guide us in using them to reach out beyond ourselves. Help us to invest in the resources and learning that will grow us into a diverse community of God where we welcome all. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
place, we've talked about power, national identity, our own individual faith this morning. And sometimes I find myself wondering, when Jesus comes back, what exactly is that going to look like? When Jesus came the first time, he came to a small country that was occupied by one of the most powerful nations the world had ever seen, a nation that crucified people who wouldn't proclaim that Caesar was Lord. Today, I wonder where Jesus would show up. Would it be amongst the poor? Would it be amongst people who are unable to pay for health care? Would it be amongst hungry folks? Would it be in a camp of folks who are marginalized because they're sick with communicable diseases? I encourage you, when you go out into the world, to look for signs of Jesus's activity everywhere you go. Here, in your own backyard, afar as you travel, in places like the Czech Republic or Liberia, because God is at work everywhere. Thanks be to God that God does not respect boundaries. God is everywhere. Let us go out into the world with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.